Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. In March 2021, the National Comprehensive Cancer Networks, or NCCN, Oncology Research Program, in partnership with Pfizer, announced 10 research projects that will receive funding to develop innovative ways to improve biosimilar adoption in the oncology space. For this not-so-different series, the Center for Biosimilars is spotlighting three projects to improve perception of biosimilars, promote biosimilars as a therapy choice, and encourage payers to prefer biosimilar use. In this second part, we spoke with Dr. Mohamed Shalin Beg, Director of GI Medical Oncology at UT Southwestern Medical Center. Dr. Beg discussed how his project titled Developing a Clinical Decision Support Tool for Biosimilar Use in Oncology will make it easier for physicians to choose biosimilars for their patients. So to start us off, can you briefly explain what your research project will be focusing on and why physicians need a clinical decision support tool for biosimilars?
When we look at the different biosimilars that are being rolled out and are now available in the market, we quickly realized that just knowing what the biosimilars are and connecting the right biosimilar for the right patient, for the right indication, with the right coverage is going to be very difficult. There are decisions that these decisions can impact the total cost of care, cost to the institution, out-of-pocket costs to the patients, and it can be very difficult to make the best decision every time. That also leads to operational challenges for the physicians when they're ordering the medications to know which biosimilar to order for which patient for which indication. It's hard for health systems to know how to stock for the specific drugs and specific biosimilars, because they don't know what the use is going to be. And there's a lot of confusion on the clinical side on what payers are going to pay for specific patients. And what's happening is payers are changing their preferred biosimilar, their preferred biosimilar lists at regular intervals every 3 or 6 months. And then that makes it very hard. That means more denials. That means more phone calls, more peer-to-peer, more work for me and my staff to get the right drug for the right patient. And I work in an environment where biosimilars have overall been accepted as part of care. So our proposal and the project that we're working on that's funded by Pfizer and the NCCN is to develop a clinical decision support tool that can help incorporate payer preferences, hospital preferences, and specific indications for the patients, so we can get the right biosimilar ordered at the time of prescribing the medications or the specific cancer regimen for our patients. The number of biosimilars are increasing. Numbers of available biosimilars are increasing just over the last couple of years. So it's going to require, we're going to develop a database that can track the biosimilars for different agents and how our major payers are handling and what their preferred biosimilars are, so we can reduce the amount of work that that our physicians, our other providers, and clinic staff have to do to match those, with the goal then to reduce cost of care to everybody involved.
What do you think is the main issue preventing physicians from choosing to prescribe more biosimilars?
I think there are some physicians who may not agree that the biosimilar is as effective for their patients compared to compared to the parent biologic. So there is that information education component or lack of understanding on the provider's aspect. If you go beyond that, a lot of the challenges are really operational on being able to prescribe the right biologic, as I mentioned earlier, for the patient at the right time, so you don't get stuck in a rut trying to allocate the right information and the right biologic at the right time. I think we're seeing a lot of these decisions being taken away from the physician's hands. I think we're seeing practices, practice managers making more administrative decisions around those aspects. And it'll be interesting to see how different centers come up with solutions around this problem. Is that all good or all bad? I don't know. But because of how rapidly this field has been changing over the last couple of years and how hard it is to keep up with all the different factors that go into defining the specific biologic, and then looking at the pipeline of new biologics that are going to make it to the market, I think it remains to be seen how all that changes as prescribing biosimilars becomes more streamlined. We'll see increased adoption and potentially less hesitancy. So because we're really early in this field in oncology, it comes down to messaging on what problems are biosimilars really going to fix. In my opinion, it should be the total cost of cancer care and the out-of-pocket costs for our patients. And if we can message that and see how that's influencing our practices, that will be a very powerful tool to convince physicians whether biosimilars are right for them.
Now, some experts believe that there is an overwhelming amount of evidence to support the use of biosimilars, but some physicians still believe that there isn't enough. What's missing from current bodies of evidence that could convince physicians to choose biosimilars?
A lot of physicians are used to the regular process of drug approval. Drugs go from phase one to phase two to phase three, and then you get an FDA approval. The approval pathways for biosimilars is different than that. It's more around, and I'm not in any ways an expert in the field of regulatory approvals for biosimilars, but from my understanding, it's around some extrapolation that can be made on biosimilars' effectiveness in one indication, and then that be extrapolated to other disease types where the parent biologic was approved or is being used. If we feel that such extrapolations are possible, can we extend that to all drug approvals and all biologics to begin with? That would reduce the cost of for completing clinical trials, would reduce the time that it takes to get drugs to the market. And if I give an example of immune therapy, you have many drugs that are targeting the same compound. I don't know how potentially can we extrapolate similar regulatory leniencies to biologics in general. One of the thoughts that comes to my mind is, are the biosimilars as carefully vetted as the parent biologic was? And we don't want to end up giving a quote-unquote inferior compound to our patients when there are other ones that are available at, and equally accessible for our patients. And what is the best way to educate physicians around that? And really, is this going to be the best answer? I would imagine in the next couple of years, we'll start seeing more real-world data coming up in this space where we can make such decisions, and it can help address some of the concerns that we have or that physicians have around the effectiveness of biosimilars compared to their parent compound. I feel that it'll be a matter of time. It'll be a matter of us being able to see how this impacted clinical care.
Do you believe that changes in biosimilar reimbursements or incentives for biosimilar use will help uptake?
Yeah. At the end of the day, sustainability of clinical practice is a huge issue. Payers are looking at biosimilars with a different lens, hospital systems from a different lens, and physicians from a different lens, and patients, I'm sure, also from a different lens. The system needs to be sustainable financially. So I don't know if the right way to make it financially stable, you know, financially sustainable, is through sort of discounts or vouchers or how that really works. But it's a big factor on how medicine is being practiced today. But I think about the prescribing physician at the time they're making the decision. Let's be honest, the physician is looking for a path of least resistance to get the best drug available to their patient. And if any process is going to lead to more phone calls and an additional work once they leave the patient's room for work for them or their staff, it's going to modify their practice behavior. So I think the financial incentives are important, but the operational challenges are probably equally important. The easier it is for the physicians to be able to make those decisions in real time at the point of care, the better you'll see the implementation. And one of the points that we're looking to study in our project around clinical decision support for biosimilars is to see how many people actually touch that specific order between the time it's ordered to the time the patient gets the drug in the chemo room. And the more people that it has to touch, the more inefficient that process is. We realize there's a huge role around maintaining the data and making as new biosimilars come through and as payer preferences change and hospital preferences change. But that process needs to be as streamlined as possible, because every time you have to pick up a phone and talk to somebody, either within the center or at a payer or at a pharmaceutical company, it just adds to the overall cost of care and then that influences how that provider is going to practice medicine moving future.
What sort of information do you think your research project will provide, and how will it help get more people on board with biosimilars?
I think if we can come up with a process that's reproducible across different centers on a content management system, on how we're handling our largest payers are approaching biosimilars and how we synthesize that data and translated that to ordering the drugs at the point of care, that'll be a huge contribution to the field for people to then apply that system to their practices and in their environments and their zip codes and towns and states. In my opinion, this tool can improve the acceptance of biosimilars by making the ordering process more efficient and lead to more efficient care and lower cost of care. But based on the way payers are approaching this problem, the decision on whether you're ordering a biosimilar or the parent reference compound isn't really in the physician's hand anymore. So that decision is being made by payers, and it's a matter of how do we translate that into our clinic. I'm not saying that whether it should or shouldn't be the payer who's deciding this. I'm saying that that's the reality that I am seeing. And those decisions are being taken away. So our tool will be able to develop a content management system where we show how we translated that information into our electronic medical records, so we could have the right biologic assigned at the right time. And one of the challenges with any quality improvement project is generally they are fixed. They're developed to address issues around a specific center, around their workflows and their culture, and they're not always as reproducible across different centers. But we're going to look forward to sharing our thoughts and in our findings. People can adapt that to their specific centers, with the goal to increase the efficiency of ordering those tools, which can aid the practices in getting the right drug ordered at the right time.
Do you think healthcare institutions need to weigh in somehow to facilitate the use of biosimilars in the clinic? And if so, how?
It comes down to physician autonomy and the ability to make for physicians to make the right decisions for the patients who they're taking care of. And the reality of oncology practice is that's eroded over the last many years. I'm not, again, saying that it's eroded for the better or for the worse, because there are very strong arguments on both sides, but we are seeing that physicians can't have their way every time in ordering those drugs and regimens. We see that through payer preferences. We see that through clinical pathways. We see that through institutional preferences. So your question was around, should institutions have a role? I do think they have a role, but it will depend on the individual practice and the reliance of the practice with the physicians' practices themselves. financial reliance. At the end of the day, it is in the physician's best interest and the patient's best interest and the clinic's best interest for the institution to be financially viable. And if there are practice patterns that are negatively affecting their financial viability, that's going to affect everybody. So the institution's well-being becomes the responsibility of the physician as well. To answer some of your earlier questions as well, we need to have more transparency. If I can go on Amazon, if I need to buy pencils, I know exactly what different vendors are buying it for, are selling it for, and I know how that's how to make my decisions. I hope that our project and similar projects like this will take us to a situation or world where we can search for these questions in real time and be able to make those decisions in real time, or B, develop automated learning systems that can make those decisions for us and incorporate all of those decisions, which is our clinical decision support will be one step towards that. But it does come down to transparency. You hear a lot about people, clinicians leaving clinical practice and going into other fields. A lot of that is because of erosion of autonomy. That's not what a lot of physicians signed up for. And I think you have the different stakeholders around biosimilar use. I think having that conversation so they understand different perspectives and can make decisions that are better is important, because cost of care for patients with cancer is tremendous. Amongst the leading cause of a bankruptcy, families get destroyed because of the cost of care around a cancer diagnosis. People lose their jobs. It's our collective responsibility to help reduce the cost of care. And I'm optimistic that solutions like biosimilars can help us address that. Now, there are many, many other people who are looking at it from different angles, regulatory angles or institutional perspectives. And I think it's going to be very interesting next couple of years to see how all this unfolds.
And lastly, do you have any concluding thoughts?
I think patients having more options is really important. I feel having more options can reduce the cost of care for our patients. But in medicine, you don't really have all the free market forces at play the way you do when you're going to go buy a hamburger, for example, because of regulation and the way the payment structures are set up. So I'm really curious to see how everybody responds to the adoption of biosimilars and how the practices are going to change in the next couple of years. I would like my team's contribution to be around improving the provider's experience around, or the physician's experience around, ordering the right medicines for our patients so that we can deliver the best value to our patients and to the oncology society in general. And this is a very innovative, biosimilars are a very innovative strategy to try and address that.
Well, Dr. Begg, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.